Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Before we get into the homily for today's Gospel and readings, I do want to wish here in the parish all of those mothers a very happy Mother's Day. We remember them in our prayers. We praise them. And we ask that our Lord shower them with blessings for the great gift of life that they have brought into the world. We also pray for those mothers who alone in their heart know that they are mothers, for those who have lost children, for those who have partaken in abortion and seek healing and have brought about healing. We pray all for all those mothers who know what it means to carry life within them. Something about motherhood, which is very beautiful in an ancient tradition in the church, which unfortunately gets a bad rap sometimes, is the custom of women veiling in the church. And some would say, well, you know, men didn't have to veil and women would veil because women were somehow lower than men. But that was not the case in itself. In fact, in the tradition of the church, women would veil because in God's presence, they would show their humility in the ability to create life and to bear life within them, right? So as St. Paul says, that the men's covering is his hair and the woman's covering is, or the woman's hair is her glory, right? Something that is beautiful and something that is a sight to behold. And it would remind us of the beauty of the ability of women to cooperate with God in creating life. And so when a woman, in order to show her femininity, in order to show that great ability and creative power that she has within her own body, in the presence of the one who gave her life, the one who gives us all life, in a sign of humility, she would veil her head in the presence of the supreme giver of life. Also, just as a bit of announcement and kind of to allow the parish to know where we're going in the coming days, as you all know, we are in here in North Carolina, phase one of this easing of restrictions of the stay-at-home order, wherein churches, it's not much different. We were allowed to have outdoor services before. We were allowed to have up to 10 people in the church before. And so not much has changed for churches. And so I've been meeting with parish leaders, liturgy commission, parish council, trying to figure out where we want to put our energies in moving forward. They came to a consensus that putting our energies into just getting 10 people in for masses and such is quite a big feat, and even outdoor masses not having the resources for that. And so they said, why don't we take these 2 weeks that we have in phase one, and we put our energies forward in planning for when phase two comes. And what we hope is that in phase two, we'll be able to have masses with a certain percentage of capacity, right? Whatever that be, whether it be 20, 25, 30, 40, 50%. That way we'll take the what the church is rated for, 820 people, and then we'll be able to take a percentage of that and be able to let in a certain number of people and be able to participate in the sacraments. And so more will be coming on that and how we can participate in Mass very, very soon. We have today three parts of the Gospel, and I just want to focus briefly on two of them. We have the first part where Christ says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right? He's speaking about preparing the kingdom to receive his faithful disciples and the faithful Christians who will come after him. And then the most famous, one of the most, I should say, famous lines of Christ's preaching where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in the third part of the Gospel is speaking about the indwelling of the Father and the Son. They cannot be separated. That their love unites them so intimately that the Father is always in the Son and the Son is always in the Father. No, it really is through our baptism that we gain the inheritance of eternal life, that we gain the promise of life eternal. But that inheritance is not a given just because of our baptism. It becomes a reality by the way that we respond to our baptismal calling and to our sacramental calling to live out the truths of the gospel, the commandments of Christ, right, the teachings of the church. In a certain way, it is almost as if at our baptism, a room is made for us. It's a room in which, at the end of this life, we hope to enter into, to dwell eternally in the mansion of the Father. But it's not yet furnished. Right? This is why Christ says in another part of the gospel, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth cannot decay. Right? Cannot bring decay to those things, eternal treasures in the heavenly kingdom. That by our works, our deeds, our responding to the duties of our state of life, of responding in kind to Christ, it's like little moments of furnishing that room, of allowing Christ to prepare that place for us, is a place that we will recognize when we arrive. Storing up those treasures, furnishing that room that has been set aside for us. Thomas asks Christ to show him the way, to show all the disciples the way. And Christ's response is, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He doesn't say I'm one of the ways. He doesn't say I'm true. I preach truth. And he doesn't say, I can offer a certain quality of life. He speaks in absolutes. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The Greek words that translate here as way, truth, and life speak of absolute realities. I am the way. What? The pathway. I'm the path. I'm the road. Harkens us back to last Sunday, the Sunday of the Good Shepherd, where he says, I am the sheep gate. And all who want to go out to pasture must pass through me. And so this is a continuing modeling ourselves off of Christ, of he not just giving us a direction to go, But if we follow him as a path, as a model, then certainly we will end up where he is, in the Father's house. He doesn't say, I preach things that are true. He says, I am the truth. What does this mean? It means that all of reality in some way reflect God, reflect Christ. All reality points to him. Many times we can look at, you know, faith and science, and people say they're opposed. They butt heads all the time. They have all this infighting between scientific truth and theological truth. But what is science? Hard science, if not just a measuring of reality. And that reality was made through Christ, by the Father, in the Holy Spirit. And so any truth that we can arrive to that's verifiable points in some way to Christ or the way that he brings order to the universe. And then he says, I am the life. Not just I offer life, not just I'll make your life better, I'll make you more comfortable in this life. That's not what he says. He says, I am the life. Meaning that following his example, following his word, leads to a fulfillment of the purpose that we were created for. You see this with people who are philanthropic, generous, good, kind people, even world-changing personalities. When they don't have faith, they meet a crisis towards the end of their life. What was all this for if I'm just going to pass away? And if they don't have faith, they lose that fulfillment of the purpose of their good deeds because it merits them not. It's not just enough to believe, but to be called into action. As we see in the Acts of the Apostles we've been reading through throughout the Easter season each year, the apostles don't just allow Christ to ascend, send the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, that's nice. We're just going to sit here and enjoy the Holy Spirit. No, they're called into action. They find their purpose, and they're fulfilled in carrying out the commands of Christ and the missionary aspect of the church. This is why St. Paul says, what can keep us from the love of Christ? And he mentions all these awful things, shipwrecks, swords, persecutions, hunger, famine. Even in all of that, as long as he is preaching the gospel, he finds a fulfillment in his purpose. He finds that Christ gives him life because Christ is life. The prayer over the offerings before the preface for this Mass goes like this. O God, who by the wonderful exchange effected in this sacrifice have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead, grant, we pray. And here's the kicker, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life. Notice that. As we have come to know your truth, right, that's up here in the head. As we have come to know the truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life, by putting it into action, by making our lives worthy of the place that has been prepared for us, and of never giving up in perseverance and of chasing that inheritance that is promised to us. Let us therefore lean on Christ, who is the way, the truth, in the life, that we may never leave the path towards that heavenly kingdom, that we may never doubt that everything that we encounter in this creation points to him, and that in following him, we might find fulfillment in that God-sized hole in our heart, that purpose that we search for, which is to know, love, and serve him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, St. Roch, and St. Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.